amigo. He gets so dark working out in those fields, Brother Richard did. He was somewhere a good while back, and some Mexican guy walked up to him, started speaking Spanish, thought he was Mexican. I get tickled every time I think about that. Almost tickled as I get when I think about Brother James, day before Easter. He got sprayed by a skunk out here in the flower bed. That was even funnier. But anyhow, let's all stand. Let's hold our Bibles up. If you don't have your Bible, hold your hand up and repeat after me these words. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, please remain standing as we read God's Word. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Song of Solomon. And we won't have the words on the screen here tonight. We're missing our media people. We're kind of just running short. I hope the rapture didn't take place or something. You know, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, let me tell you, I'll know the rapture's taking place if Jesse's gone, because I know she's going, and she's not here tonight, so I can't say whether it has or hat. She got a pink eye head to stay at Granny's. By the way, if you want a CD from last Wednesday night, Three Canaries in the Coal Mine, we have some back there ready. And then also Sunday's message, the takeoff on the Clint Eastwood movie, High Plains Drifter. We called it Low Life Drifters. We've got it ready, too, back there. If you would like to get one of those, you're welcome. I want to title my message tonight, Faithful to the Bride. Faithful to the Bride. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 7. And this, by the way, this is Jesus speaking to his bride, the church. It says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now, if I told Gina that, I'd probably be on the couch. That appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely or beautiful. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David. Now that sounds like she's long-necked, don't it? I mean, like olive oil. I don't know, but he says she's pretty. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory. Or either she's a big old strong woman, I don't know which. Builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. And then notice this last verse I want to read. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. God bless the reading of his word. If you would, take someone's hand next to you. Let's pray together as the family of God here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being able to be here tonight. God, we pray that you will touch and speak to each one of us. I pray, God, for unction to preach, and I pray, Holy Ghost, that you'll move in this place tonight, that you'll have your will and your way in each one of us, God. We pray, God, that you would just so fill us and anoint us with your fire and revival, that, God, we'd lay it all on the altar every day for you. That, Lord, we'd be like a lamp burning bright for you wherever we go all through the week. Lord, let revival come to this place, to this church, to this people, to this preacher. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I love the Song of Solomon. It is such a beautiful, poetic book. It is unrivaled in the beautiful words and the pictures that are given to us through the words that he uses and analogies that he uses. Of course, as I said, the Song of Solomon, we know that he was talking to Shulamite, who was his wife. But the Lord reveals to us, and as you read Song of Solomon, you find out that it is revealed that this is actually a picture of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and his church, the bride. And so it's a beautiful insight that we get of what Jesus thinks of the church, the bride. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you are born again, you classify as the bride of Christ. That means we are his, we belong to him. And I want you to see a couple of things, first of all. Number one, notice how passionate Jesus is for his bride. Notice how passionate. He says, you're all fair, my love. And he says, you have dove's eyes and you got teeth like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. In other words, you know, you got beautiful teeth. And he says, your lips are like a thread of scarlet. And then he says in verse 7, you're all fair. In other words, everything about you is beautiful. I love every curve. I love every wrinkle. I love every age spot. Everything about you I love, he's saying. And he says, you are my love and there's no spot in you. And then he goes on and it describes how he says, come away with me and come to Lebanon. And it talks about having a honeymoon in a beautiful place. And it describes that place. And then finally, he describes how he even loves the fragrance of his bride, his wife, the Church of Jesus Christ. So I want you to see Jesus is passionate about his bride. You know, I don't understand how people can go to church and just look like a bump on a log, sit there limp as a dish rag when we don't realize and we don't take into account how passionate that Jesus is for us. You think about it. In the Bible, he gives many parables, but there's one that stands out to me that shows how passionate he is for us. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son goes away into a far country. He turns his back on his dad, leaves his dad's house, goes into a far country, wastes all his money, all of his inheritance that his daddy had worked so hard for on wine, women, and song. And finally, he's in the hog pen, a Jewish boy, and he comes to himself and he says, how many of my father's servants have bread to spare, and yet I'm perishing with hunger? He said, I will arise now and go to my father. And he goes back home. And as he's walking up the driveway, his daddy, who must have been looking for him every day because he happened to be there at the right time looking, he sees his son coming up the drive. And the daddy, who is a symbol of God, runs to his son. That's the only place in the Bible where we find that God ran. The only place. It was to run to a child that had gone the wrong way. A child that had embarrassed himself, had made a mockery even of the father's name, had totally screwed his life up and was broken in a million pieces. He sees him coming home and the father cannot contain his love. He runs to the son. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ and Jesus and the Father are one. God is passionate for his bride, for his children, for the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only is Jesus passionate for his church, his bride, also he has a great love for his bride. There's a scripture I want you to turn to in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. I know some of you got spoiled with a screen, so use your Bible. Ephesians 5. And I want one verse. Are you there? Verse 25. We often think about this as something wives tell husbands to remember around Father's Day. But don't you notice what it says? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you see how much Jesus loves the church, his bride? He died for his bride. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a lot of men. I guarantee you, if you took 1,000 men and you saw how many would die for their spouse, it wouldn't be 1,000. I don't know how many. I can't tell you, but I know there's some selfish men that wouldn't die for their spouse, that wouldn't die for their bride. There's men so selfish they won't even let the wife watch something on TV. They're so selfish they won't give her a dollar to go to the mall and buy her a new dress. They're so selfish they won't get away from their fishing or their hobby to spend time with her. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not selfish. He loves us completely, totally, passionately, so much so that he laid down his very life. Thirdly, I want you to notice how highly Jesus esteems his bride, the church. I want you to see how Jesus highly esteems his bride, the church. You know, Jesus loves the church. He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He esteems the church highly. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it's a prophetic word for the New Testament church, where the psalmist says, if I ever forget Zion, and Zion is the Old Testament word for the New Testament organism called the church. He says, should I forget Zion, may my right hand lose its cunning. In other words, let me go paralyzed. There's a scripture in Lamentations, when you begin opening the book of Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah, who never had even one convert his entire ministry. Jeremiah opens up the book of Lamentations, and it's a picture of the church, Zion. And it says, it talks about the streets, how they're empty. It's talking about Jerusalem, how it had been overrun, the walls broken down, and everyone was in captivity. And now the streets that were once so alive are empty. And it's a picture of the New Testament church that begins to die and to fizzle out. And not all over, but in places, here and there and yonder. He says, when you see this, is it nothing? Is it nothing to all ye that pass by? Let me tell you something. Jesus esteems his church very highly. I've heard people, this has been a common refrain on Twitter. I did some study on this. I love Jesus, but I hate the church. There's something wrong with that statement. Y'all see it, don't you? I mean, it's become quite fashionable today to mock the church, to put the church down. And we hear all this all the time about the church is full of hypocrites. Let me tell you something about somebody using that. That's just an excuse. Because your workplace is full of hypocrites, but you'll still go there to make them Benjamin Franklins, won't you? Huh? The grocery store is full of hypocrites, isn't it? But you'll still go buy your... Hey, let me tell you, you'll go to the gym that's full of hypocrites. You'll go to a country club. You'll go to a place of fun and recreation full of hypocrites. It doesn't stop you. The only reason people use that is they're bashing the church and they're trying to make an excuse. It's become fashionable today to bash the church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. We ought to think about what he says in Song of Solomon. how he loves that church. I mean, couldn't you pick up on how he's passionate and in love with his bride? When we read, let me see some hands. Y'all saw that in Song of Solomon? And when we read Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Can you see the love there? Can you see the passion and esteem, highly esteeming this church? He calls her a glorious bride in Ephesians chapter 2. Without spot and without blemish. Let me tell you something. People that not the church of Jesus Christ, and by the way, if you're hearing this today, don't miss Sunday. You might hear it again, okay? With some addendums, some additions. Let me tell you something. There is a movement today about worshiping away from church. In other words, not being part of an organized church. Let me tell you something. That is not authentic Christianity. It is not. Authentic Christianity is coming to a place where we gather together as brothers and sisters, poor sinners, every one of us, all of us struggling to try and follow and walk with Jesus Christ. And when one falls, another will reach down and pull them up. When one's down, another's up and lifts them up. And brothers and sisters, we put our faith together. We put our worship together. We put our love and our passion and everything, our gifts and talents together. And then God uses us. It's a family. I put this on Facebook several times. Church isn't a place you go. It's a family. It's a family. But there's such a movement today to bash the church, to delineate its importance, to say, and what it's getting down to is we're starting to see where people don't go to church then. Well, if it's such a bad place, let me tell you something. I experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in his church. I've experienced healing in the church of Jesus Christ. I've seen God change lives in these old altars up here. Yeah, this floor might creak a little bit. It's weak over here where the old wood stove set. Oh, it's not the most perfect building in the world, but I'm going to tell you, when we gather here, we become the church. The building in the church is us, but when we gather in here, in this old place, God moves. I've seen it time and time again. Give him praise. My God, if you don't clap, I'm going to. And I am so tired of people saying, well, it don't matter if you go to church or not. It does matter. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're going to love the things that Jesus loves. Amen? And you're going to hate the things Jesus hates. Jesus says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. That's what the Word says. And you know, people, you don't hate them, you love the sinner, you hate the sin, right? You know? And that's hard to do with some sins, because, you know, it's not my sin. And so it really bothers me. I see somebody over here that's really done something that I think's terrible that I would never think of doing. You know what? Their sin's different from mine, but we're both sinners. And I need to love them just like Jesus loves me, right? Amen. Let me tell you something. When we start bashing the church, when we start making the church the butt of jokes, let me tell you something. God's got something for us. And it's not something we want. I wrote this down. And again, I want to say this point one more time. And I've got about 10 more minutes and I'm going to quit. This anti-church brand of Christianity today is not authentic Christianity. All you got to do is read back in the book of Acts, in the epistles that Paul and Peter wrote, that John wrote. Even read church history by people like Josephus or Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read that book. You ought to get it. It's about a 400 or 500 page book. It's a book of all just hundreds of people that were martyred. That means they were tortured and put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. After the apostles. It's like during the first, second, third century. Let me tell you something. Those people, they risked their lives to come together and worship. Did you know that? Right now in China, in places like Bangladesh, in Malaysia, in Saudi Arabia, for some crazy reason we count as an ally, it's a capital crime to worship Jesus Christ unless you are given special permission. And then they tell the preacher what to preach and everything else. Right now, the fastest growing church in the world is in China. It's the underground church. I'm going to tell you somewhere else very close to it is Cuba. Good friend of mine, Bob Vineyard, he just got back from there. And the Castros, they did not like this. In fact, they put you in jail. They meet in people's homes. Let me tell you, from the very beginning, when Jesus started the church, people have risked their lives to do what we're doing tonight. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. Well, I'll go to church if I don't have nothing else better to do. You know, if nothing else comes up, I'll see you Sunday, preacher. It brings me to a real important conclusion. Three things. If you saw this in my text on Facebook, good. One of the tangible ways we can show our faithfulness to God is by being faithful to His bride, the church. Let me say that again. One of the tangible, listen to me, one of the tangible, everybody say tangible. That means real, something you see, feel, touch, smell, taste. One of the tangible ways that we can show our faithfulness to God Almighty is by being faithful to His bride, the church. You know, I feel like I spend half my time as a pastor begging people to come back to church and to get them in church. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's a few that are gone and we just going to have a bowel movement. Every church needs a good bowel movement every now and then. And I'm not going to keep begging because I'm going to find who the true worshipers are. And I can't understand how we can have 200, 250 on Sunday and then on Wednesday night we struggle to get, and usually more than this, but 60 people in here on Wednesday night. I don't understand that. Well, we work hard, Brother Tom. So what? I do too. Y'all try and pastor about 300 of y'all crazy people. I got six posts with the state patrol that I'm chaplain over. I had all those people up. Then one day a week I put in these helplines. And I'm doing that just till Gina can get out of school, praise God, and she don't become a lifetime student. She's fitting to get out, I'm telling you. We fitting to be done with this school. She's going to get the nurse practitioner thing. That's over. And then no more. Ain't going to do this doctorate thing, no. But I'm telling you, we all tired. Do you not think they were tired back in the days when they plowed all day with a mule in the hot sun? Come on. They didn't sleep in no air conditioning at night. But they made it to God's house and they might have had to travel on a wagon 10, 15 miles, which is a few hours. And I can tell you, when I've read the minutes, when they came here, in the early days, we had two of the original deacons were Cherokee Indians, full-blooded. And this was a border territory, a border ground, where there was fighting over the border between the Creeks that were like ISIS and the Cherokees that were more civilized. And the people that came here to church had to ride with their muskets, with their Kentucky squirrel rifles or whatever, flintlocks. They didn't know if they'd get back home when they left to go to church, but they still went. And now the preacher has to beg and call and do phone trees and messages on Facebook and have Brother Harry send out cards and come to your house and bake you a cake and give you a pedicure and wipe your hiney and hold your hand while you tee-tee and everything else. And it's just crazy.
Oh, y'all won't be back to hear this rest of this Sunday. I'm just giving y'all the opening of it. But I'm going to tell you, one of the tangible ways, one of the real ways we show how faithful we are to God is by being faithful to this place, to this church. He loves this church. He died for this church. And let me ask you a question, and I can't wait to ask this Sunday. What if? Everybody say, what if? What if we were blessed in direct relation to how we bless what He loves, the church? In other words, what if God didn't bless us any more than we bless the church? Some of you might be in good shape, some of you might not. I'm going to say the Wednesday night people are going to be in better shape than Sunday, just the Sunday morning people. But you know, that's something to think about, isn't it? And let me give you a little truth. That's absolutely what God does. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Had somebody call me the other day. Their fixing to be put out of their house. Their rent was due. Lights done been cut off. And I knew they were wanting a handout. And we helped people. But you know what? Instead of just giving this person some money, I gave them something better than money. Yeah, they might be hot for a few days with no lights. They might have to move out and move in with some friends and sleep on the sofa. But you know what? This is going to do them good. Because let me tell you what I told them. I said, if you'll start putting God first and giving God your best, let me tell you something, you'll find that God will meet all your needs. And I knew they kept expecting, Brother Ronnie. But I'm going to tell you something I've learned. The people that I can tell you people that I've handed money, $100 bills I'm talking about, and I don't come by them that easy, okay? I'm a Baptist preacher, okay? I'm not Episcopalian. And I can tell you that people that I've given to, and then that the church has done it to, I go talk decent. We need to help somebody. Those are some of the ones that end up hating me and hating this church the most. And once they get what they want, they gone. I prayed with people through the night, all night long. I have literally prayed all night long for people and with people that needed a touch from God. And as soon as things got on the up and up and everything was going good, you didn't see them in God's house anymore. Let me tell you, you can't play God like that. He's not a yo-yo baby. He's not a toy that you buy at Toyland and Toys R Us. He's God Almighty. And when you think you're putting the move on God, He's done 20 miles ahead of you, honey. Let me tell you, what if my faithfulness to God was in direct correlation? My faithfulness to His church was, excuse me, His faithfulness to me was in direct correlation to my faithfulness to His church. Let me tell you, that's with our time, and that's with our talents, and everybody's got one. You might not think you got a talent. You got at least one. Every believer has one or more gifts. And the neat thing, when you start using that gift, God will give you more gifts. It's cool. Our time. You know, I talk to spouses having trouble. And I hear so much, and usually it's from the woman, but sometimes it's the other way. The man says it about, what do you want? I want more of his time. I want more of her time. Or I talk to children and their parents or something. I want time. I want their time. You got to put in time. That means coming here and praying. Being in Sunday school, being in church. When we have a work day, you come and clean up, you do stuff. You know, we pay a custodian right now. We really shouldn't even have to pay a custodian. We got enough families, 335 members. We've got enough families in this church to keep this place clean. Time, talents, third T, and that's all I'm going to say, treasure. Your money. You know what? There's no reason we shouldn't be able to do anything we want to do in this church. But you got a tithe. You might say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you something. Try it for 1 month. Start tithing this Sunday. Do it for a month. And see if God doesn't get all in your finances and bless your finances. You're going to have more than enough. Now, I did not tell you. Don't go away from me and say, Brother Tom said, once I start tithing, I'm going to get that new condo I've been wanting, that brand new Cadillac. Bless God. You know? My wife's going to turn into Crawford lady? No, Bullock. Sandra Bullock. They said she's the most beautiful woman in the world, like the third or fourth time. No, I know. Well, I was thinking about mine too now. I was thinking about Gina, baby, but. But the point I'm trying to make is, you'll be surprised, car tires will last longer. You know what? I remember when we had gas prices shoot up to like $4 or $5 a gallon a few years ago. How many remember that? Y'all remember that? We prayed in this church. And everybody that was a tither, let me tell you what happened. Their cars started getting better mileage. Some of y'all might remember that. I mean, they would set the odometer and they would check their mileage. They were getting 3 and 4 miles better to the gallon, some of them. That ain't God. I mean, he'll make your shoes last longer. He can keep your youngins well. He can keep stuff from tearing up. I mean, really, he can. Time, talent, treasure. This place is just a building. But when we get gathered together and we get here, we the church of Jesus Christ. We the bride of the most awesome being in the whole universe. And that's why we have to do things a certain way. That's why a pastor don't let just anybody get up and talk or sing or take the pulpit. Because this is the church of Jesus Christ. This ain't mine, okay? We got to do it by the Bible. This is why in this church, you know, we don't go along with the popular culture that says, well, it don't matter if you do this or you do that. Well, no, we got to stick with the Word of God because it hadn't changed, right? Listen, let's love the church. Let's don't bash her. Hallelujah. Thank God for the old ship of Zion. How lost I would be if there wasn't one. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads. Brother Kurt's going to put on some music if he knows how. I'm not sure. But whether